Well, good evening, everybody. You can take your Bibles tonight. You can go to 2 Kings chapter 14. 2 Kings chapter 14. And tonight, we're going to be looking at the record of Jonah. And 2 Kings offers some background and context for the book of Jonah. In 2 Kings 14, we're going to start in verse 23. Now, this verse doesn't have a whole lot of commas or parentheses, so I'm going to help you out here. But it says, in the 15th year of Amaziah, parentheses, the son of Joash, king of Judah, that's who he was, end parentheses, Jeroboam, parentheses, the son of Joash, king of Israel, end of parentheses, began to reign in Samaria and reigned 41 years. So Jeroboam is the king, and he reigns 41 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, his dad. He was Jeroboam Jr., who made Israel to what? Sin. And as we have seen in previous weeks, Israel's continual and the thing they go back to over and over again is idolatry, right? And Jeroboam's not helping the situation. He's continuing in that. Verse 25 says, he restored the coast of Israel from the entering of Hamath unto the sea of the plain, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he spake by the hand of his servant, who? Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, which was of Gehether. So even though Jeroboam wasn't the sharpest guy, even though he was still doing evil, under his rulership and with the guidance of Jonah, they were able to restore some of the land that was lost to them. They restored the coast of Israel. And verse 26 says, for the Lord saw the affliction of Israel, that it was very bitter. The affliction was there because Israel had turned away from God. For there was not any shut up, nor any left, nor any helper for Israel. And the Lord said not that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash. So God had grace and mercy on Israel under Jeroboam's rule, and part of that was because of Jonah and what Jonah did. So Jonah knew of Israel's situation. He knew that Israel was screwing up. He knew that Israel was being afflicted, that they were losing their lands, that they were being taken over and persecuted by the people around them because they turned away from God. But God in his mercy helped them in spite of that. Okay, God worked in the situation to help Jeroboam restore some of those lands from the Assyrians. Okay, so that's some of the background. So let's go to Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Jonah's in those little books right after Daniel, right before Matthew. It's one of those little guys. Jonah chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 1. It says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai. So same guy. He was the son of Amittai there in Kings. Son of Amittai here. Saying, arise, go to where? Nineveh, that great city. And cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Okay? So God tells Jonah, gives him instruction, revelation, tells him what to do. Their wickedness was an evil and a violent society. Okay? We'll see that later in chapter 3, but I'll give you the cliff notes. They were an evil and a violent society. They were constantly attacking other people and just generally speaking, a very warring society. So God tells Jonah that he's supposed to go there to Nineveh and tell them, hey, you're screwing up. Stop it. Because their wickedness had come up before God. He was going to basically judge them, if you will. So he's sending Jonah there to warn them, let them know. And Nineveh is the capital city of Assyria. Okay, the same people who had been persecuting Israel. So God reveals to Jonah that he would spare the Assyrians if he goes and, you know, tells them what's going on. But Jonah thought that that would lead to more persecution for Israel, right? Jonah loved Israel, but the Assyrians were beating him up all the time. So Jonah thinks, I'll run away. Verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto where? Tarshish. Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. And went down to where? Joppa. Joppa. Which brings us to our first little illustration of the evening. Boom. It's a map. We love maps here. So Joppa is this little dot right down here, right on the coast of Israel, a little bit above Egypt. And Nineveh is just over up in here, a little far north, a little far east. Nineveh is the capital city of Assyria. Tarshish is at the corner of Spain. Okay? So Jonah was like, I'm going to go as far away as I can possibly go. Because you have to remember, did they know anything was out past that?
Nope.
I'm going to go as far away as I can possibly go. That was his goal. So he's like, I'll get on the little ship here in Joppa and I will just keep going. That way I won't have anything to do with the Assyrians. I won't go to Nineveh at all. So he's expecting that if he runs away, he doesn't have to go deliver this news to Nineveh, doesn't have to warn them about God being unhappy with them, and figures that that'll be good for Israel, right? God's judgment will come up before Assyrians, he'll wipe them out, and then Israel will be okay. So, verse 3, Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof. So he pays for the money to go on the ship, and he decides to take a boat ride. And went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Okay. Verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. So God says, okay, well, you're going to run away. Here is a mighty wind. So a mighty wind breaks out, and it's a big storm. Tosses the ship around to the point where it looks like it's going to be lost. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was what? Fast asleep. He had no problem sleeping. The boat's being like wrecked up. Everybody's throwing everything overboard, but he's chilling, right? He's fine. So maybe he just thought, well, God's going to take care of me. I'll be all right. I'll just sleep it off. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. We're all praying to our gods. You get up there and pray to your God too. And they said, every one to his fellow, come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon who? Jonah. Well, there you go. That's why this is all happening, right? Because Jonah did not obey God. He thought he would run away instead. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. So the lot falls to Jonah, and then the 21 questions come in. Whose cause is this evil upon us? What is thy occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country? What people are you? Who are you? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, meaning reverence or respect, the God of heaven, which has made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why did you do this to us? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he told them he did. So he tells them exactly what he's up to. I'm running away from God. And they said, well, why are you doing that? Now everything's going haywire. Verse 11. Then they said unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. Throw me overboard. So the sea shall be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. This is all my fault, so just chuck me in the water. You know, I'm ready to go. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. He'd rather die in the ocean than go back to Nineveh, because at least Israel would still be, you know, safe from the Assyrians. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land. They felt really bad for this guy, and they're like, all right, we'll do everything we can to get you to land. But they could not, for the sea was wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, so remember, they all had their own gods, right? But after this whole shtick went down, who they cry unto? The Lord. Right, they're like, oh, well, I guess his God's the real God, because this is going down really bad. So they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. Basically saying, forgive us for throwing this guy overboard. We don't want to kill him, but obviously this is what's happening, and we'll, you know, throw him in for your sake. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. So there you go. The guys throw Jonah overboard into the tempestuous sea, and he gets chucked into the water. Oh no, Jonah! So they took up Jonah, verse 15 again, and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. It stopped. It was calm again. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made what? Vows. So there you go. They became believers. Threw the guy overboard, everything stopped, and that was all they needed to see. Verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Okay, so God arranged this fish. And this is in the category of miraculous. And we'll see later on that God arranges a few other things for Jonah. But he prepares a fish to swallow up Jonah. If you have a ribbon, leave your finger here. I want to go to Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. Because there's some interesting stuff here. God sends a fish. He prepares a fish to swallow up Jonah. And he's there for 3 days and three nights. Matthew 12, verse 38. Matthew 12, 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. We want to see a sign from you, speaking to Jesus Christ. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but except for the sign of the prophet Jonas. So there is a sign that happened to Jonah. Verse 40, for as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights. Where? In the heart of the earth. As Jonah was, so would Jesus Christ be. And was Jesus Christ hanging out and dancing around in the dirt? No. Jesus Christ was dead. Dead for 3 days and three nights. And it says that Jonah will be the same way. So as Jonah was, so was Jesus Christ. Lazarus was dead 4 days when Jesus Christ got there, right? So, knowing this, that as Jesus Christ would be, that would be Jonah. Let's go back to Jonah chapter 2. So Jesus Christ was dead. And there was a sign from Jonah. I believe that Jonah was dead inside that fish for 3 days and three nights. Chapter 2, verse 1. This is where the difficulty comes in. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of where? Fish's belly. So people think like, Jonah's in there, hanging out, campfire, praying. I'm stuck inside a fish, God. But let me ask you something. If you were suddenly tossed into the sea and then swallowed by a fish, when would you start praying? Right away. Like, God save me, I'm sorry. In the water, swallow by a fish. Verse 2. And said, and the "and said" there is, Jonah is now recording. Who wrote the book of Jonah by revelation? From God. Jonah. Right? This is Jonah's recording. Okay, he wasn't writing the book inside the whale's belly. He wrote this after he got out. It's in past tense. I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he what? Heard me. God heard his prayer. Out of the belly of hell, the word hell there is the word sheol, or grave. Grave. Out of the belly of the grave cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst me cast into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. So that, you know, he was obviously thrown into deep. He's in the water. All there's water all around him. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Right? He had been cast out of God's sight. He disobeyed, right? He decided to go to Tarshish. He decided it would be better to throw himself overboard than to go back. But as he's in the water, as everything's happening, as the fish is swallowing, and he realizes he's wrong. And he says, I will look again toward thy holy temple. Okay, I'll start looking to you again, God. I'm sorry. And then verse 5, the waters compassed me about to the what? Soul. To his soul. His soul is his what? Breath life. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The word for bottoms there is the moorings or the roots. Where are the roots of mountains? Underground. The earth with her bars was about me how long? Forever. He was 6 feet under, man. He was dead. Yet thou hast brought up my life from where? Corruption. O Lord my God. God brought him back from corruption. Saved his life. When my soul fainted within me, You know, as my life faded away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee in thy holy temple, that they that observe lying vanities, worthless idols, forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay, the word pay is fulfill, that I have vowed. I will fulfill my promise. I will follow through with what I said I would do. Salvation is of who? The Lord. Of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it puked Jonah out on the dry land. Blah! So Jonah gets thrown up on the dry land. Okay? So Jonah's ready to get back to believe in God. As his life fades away, he prays, and God saves him. But as Jesus Christ was 3 days and three nights, so was Jonah in that belly. And then he goes, blah! And there's Jonah. And Jonah's alive again, brought back from corruption. Chapter 3, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Hey, you're back, buddy. Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and got on another boat to Tarshish. No. And went unto Nineveh. So there we go. There's Jonah. He's in the belly. And there he is. Puked up on the land. Ready to go to Nineveh. Okay, here I go. So he's ready to go back. Okay? So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Nineveh was a big place. Archaeological finds indicate that the city was about 20 miles across. 20 miles across. So if you went from one end of the city and just walked straight, you would leave the city 20 miles later. And it was about 60 miles in circumference. 60 miles around. Okay? It's a big city. It was the capital city of Assyria. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. So he starts walking into the city. It takes 3 days to get across. But a day into walking into the city, and cries and said, yet 40 days then, and Nineveh shall be what? Overthrown. Shall be overthrown. You can leave your finger here and you can go to Luke chapter 11, verse 30. Luke chapter 11, verse 30. We read before in Matthew that there was a sign of Jonas. And when you think about Jonah walking into Nineveh, this huge city of unbelievers, of people who are constantly warring. Who is Jonah? Some guy. Luke 11:30 says, for as Jonah was a sign unto who? The Ninevites. So shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. So Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites, a sign. So you have to imagine that Jonah told them what happened to him. Because, I mean, you know, he's just a guy walking through a city yelling that, you know, Nineveh is going to be destroyed. But he was a sign unto the Ninevites. Whatever he was saying, whatever he was witnessing, it took hold of them, you know. It doesn't say anything about his overall condition, but, I don't know. He was dead. So he told him, hey, I died and here I am to tell you that God is, or that, you know, you got 40 days and then Nineveh's going to be trash. So they listen. You go back to chapter 3, verse 5. Jonah chapter 3, verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed who? God. So whatever he said to them, they believed it. That sign that Jonah was to them, they believed it. And proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh. Even Nineveh heard about Jonah's ordeal. And he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in what? Ashes. Which is a sign. You know, it was symbolic of being very sorry or very sad about something, to sit in ashes and to put on sackcloth. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, nor herd nor flock. So nobody, man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Man and beast. They covered their own cattle in sackcloth. They were so sorry. That's how sorry they were. Look, how sorry they are. Man and beast. Sackcloth in it. Little donkeys covered in sackcloth. Cows covered in sackcloth. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is what? In their hands. And that was why they were evil. They're a very violent society. They did evil. And the king says, let everybody turn away from that. Verse 9, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? Hopefully God will let us go. Hopefully God will have mercy on us. Verse 10, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he what? Did it not. So the circumstances change and the revelation changes, as we've heard recently. The circumstances changed. The Ninevites had a change of heart. God said he was going to lay in the waste. Jonah delivered the message, and then they repented. And so God doesn't lay them to waste. Doesn't lay them to waste. Chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was not too happy. Wait a second. You said you were going to destroy all of them. That's the message I came here to bring. What happened? And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Even before I left out of Joppa, this is what I said. Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and a merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. I knew you were going to do this. That's why I wanted to leave in the first place. You know, that's how he's feeling. I knew it. I delivered this message and they said they're sorry. No, it's not going to happen. He loved Israel. He really wanted to see Israel, you know, taken care of. That these Assyrians would stop bothering them. And he felt that now God's showing them mercy, they're just going to persecute us more. Verse 3, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me. Who gave it back to him? God. Take it away from me this time. I don't want it. For it is better for me to die than to what? Live. Listen, why'd you bring me back for this crap? You know, I want to be dead. I'm so mad. Verse 4, then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? Which basically means, do you have a good reason to be so mad? Why are you so mad? Jonah doesn't answer God. I'm sure we've had this experience with our own children before, right? Why are you so mad? Stomp away. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there he made himself a booth, a little shelter. and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. Oh, well, maybe God will still do something to the city. I'll prop up here and just take, you know, just watch it for a while. And the Lord God prepared a gourd, a plant. So here's God's preparing something again, right? He prepared a fish before. Now he's preparing a plant. And it made it to come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the plant. So God makes a little, miraculously grows a plant for him. And it sits over his head and gives him some shade, and he's happy about his plant. He was so mad before. It delivers him from his grief. He's happy. But God prepared something else. This time he prepares a worm. The next day. God prepared a worm the morning, when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. Here's your plan. Be happy. Oh, here's a worm. And ate it. And the gourd, it gets all withered and yuck. So there's the plant. He's all happy in his little shelter. And now the plant's all smushed because the worm came and ate it all up. It withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise, because it was early in the morning that the worm ate up the plant. The sun comes up. God prepared a vehement, which means a scorching, east wind. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, it is better for me to die than live. So he's just up there trying to see what's going on with the city, and a hot wind is blowing and he's exhausted and he's tired and he just says, I'm done. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? Do you have any right to be angry about the plant? And this time he does answer, I do well to be angry, even unto death. I'm so mad that I could die. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity. Thou felt so bad for that gourd that it got all eaten up. It made you so mad. For the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. You love that stupid plant that was only here for a day, and you had nothing to do with that plant. And should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein there are more than 120,000 people? That cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and also much cattle. And then the record just ends. Boom. It's done. And it just ends. But God's question to Jonah at the end is, where is your pity for Nineveh? They're the ones who repented. Even their cattle were wearing sackcloth. And God gives them a shout out at the end there. You see that? 120,000 people and their cattle. Even their cattle were sorry. And you don't care one bit about Nineveh. You care about that stupid plant that was up there for one day. So he's teaching them a lesson. Right? In the end, Jonah saw that Nineveh would repent. And that God took care of them. And Israel would not. You know? That's the context around it. That's what we saw in 2 Kings. You know, Jonah at his heart was sad because Israel, he knew, wasn't getting any better. They were still turning to idols. They were still screwing up. And here God was taking care of Nineveh. A bunch of unbelievers who said they were sorry, said they repented. And God's showing them this. He's teaching them this by saying, look, here you have this whole group of people who are a bunch of jerks, and they all turned their sight to me. They all said they were sorry. They all repented. You know, shouldn't I do this for them? Verse 11. And should I not spare them? You know, look at what their work, where their heart is. Look at where their heart is. And so that's what God teaches to Jonah. God's word is his will. And if Israel was going to remain estranged from God, then they were going to receive the consequences. You know, and that was hard for Jonah to accept, but that's the way it worked out. But God did spare Nineveh when they turned their hearts to him. And if you want the sequel to what happens to Nineveh in the book of, where is it? The book of Nahum, a few books over. We're not going to read it, but if you want to read it sometime, Nahum, it speaks about what happens to Nineveh. Nineveh, about 100 years later, goes right back to what they were doing a couple generations later, and God destroys the whole place. So, you know, they eventually fall back to their evil ways, and God does wipe them out. But, you know, for that time, their heart was turned towards God, and that's what they believed, and God took care of them. So, that's the record of Jonah.